Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, South Texas, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View. I'm Barbara Little, here with Bishop Michael Mulvey on the fourth Sunday of Advent. Today we will hear the Gospel of St. Luke and talk about Mary's openness to the coming of the Messiah. Please stay with us and we'll be right back.
The death of a loved one, be they spouse, child, parent, or great friend, can be devastating, life-changing, confusing, leaving us with feelings of loss, emptiness, hurt, fear, anger, and a thousand other emotions. Grief is, unfortunately, a necessary part of life. It's never pleasant, but there it is. Our Lady of Perpetual Help Parish, 5830 Williams Drive, offers help in the form of a super grief support group. They meet Tuesday evenings at 6:30 with Chaplain Ray Claveria, a trained and experienced grief support coordinator. The sessions are offered at no charge and pre-registration is required. The more we know about grief, the better we can handle it. If you really want help, call Chaplain Ray at 361-947-8146.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Good morning, Bishop. How are you this morning?
Very well, Barbara. And you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Good.
Hard to believe that we're at the fourth Sunday of Advent.
It is.
Well, our gospel today, this morning, is from St. Luke. And this, as a matter of fact, is the same gospel reading as we had at the Immaculate Conception when we celebrated that.
That's right.
So if our listeners recognize it, that's what it is.
That's right.
So if we could prepare our hearts and minds to hear his word this morning.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming to her, he said, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at what was said, and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of David his father, and he will rule over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." But Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I have no relations with a man?" And the angel said to her in reply, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month for her, who was called barren, for nothing will be impossible for God." Mary said, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, this is such a beautiful, beautiful gospel, and kind of as background, you know, the first couple of weeks of Advent were focused on God's return in glory, not his birth in human form. But so now we start to focus on Mary and how in her encounter with the angel Gabriel and how she said, "Thy will be done."
Right. Yes. And it's so important to have the person of Mary as you know, the last Advent figure. We've been talking about John the Baptist and in particular, and but now as we approach Christmas, Mary comes to the foreground, which is rightly so, because it is her response and her openness to the Lord that really ushers in this new kingdom this new way of life that the world had never known before, had longed for and waited for and wanted, as we do today, but never knew. But it was based really on God's, of course, grace and action, but also on her openness to receive.
Yes. And as I was preparing for this, I found a word that I had not seen before. It called tell me if I pronounced this right, a fiat?
Fiat.
Fiat. Yes. And the Catechism said that it's a Christian prayer to be holy God's because he is holy ours.
Yes. Fiat, means let it be done. May it be done. Let it happen. And of course, for us, the fiat refers to this attitude, which is her prayerful attitude of Mary as she receives and welcomes this message into her life. And so it is a Christian prayer. It is for all of us. It is that let it be done to me, which is something that all of us in every circumstance really must come to deal with. And really, when you think about it, it is the final prayer of our life as we are facing our own mortality and we're on our own deathbed. If we could only say fiat, let it be done as you say, that is the prayer of true trust and true faith.
You mentioned true faith. What faith she had to say, let it be done, because this was pretty astounding news.
Right.
I'm sure when you think about it. And then she hears about her cousin Elizabeth.
Right. I think one thing, Barb, as we're preparing ourselves in this last week for the celebration of the Lord's birth at Christmas, I think it's important to not just see this account of the gospel today in kind of just a romantic way. I think too often we do that. We romanticize Christmas. We romanticize the shepherds and et cetera, and the angels dropping from heaven and all those beautiful things that we for centuries have celebrated with music and art. But it's also important to really enter into the human aspect of this. And I think this gospel today allows us to do that. Just put ourselves in the place of Mary and what it was like to hear something that is totally extraordinary, totally out of the realm of human thought anyway, that one who has no relation with a man would conceive and bear a son. And so the first really, I think you might say the first response to Mary, although she didn't say she was afraid, but the angel said to her, do not be afraid.
Yes, exactly.
And we need to look at our own lives of what fear does to us.
It'd be paralyzing.
Exactly. In fact, that's the first thing I was going to say. Very good. It paralyzes us, We don't know what to do, where to go. That's one response to it. The other, it can create a false self in us. So we try to cover up the fear that each one of us has. I mean, there's a certain insecurity, you might say, because of our sinful nature that can create a false self. So we try to cover it up. We try to get involved in things that make us stronger on a human level, and sometimes that leads us to the wrong path. But a lot of that's done by fear. But we all know those words of St. John in the first letter where he says, perfect love drives out fear. And it's because that love is at the center of our lives. And so what Mary experiences here when the angel says, do not be afraid because you have found favor, it means that you've been loved. That you are loved, found favor with God is to receive that love of God, to know that as a human being, she was loved by God. And of course, as you said, we just celebrated the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, that she was from the beginning, even in the womb, was sinless because she was being prepared for this moment of the birth of Jesus. And so in a very special way, she was loved by God. But each one of us, and that's the point I wanted to make as we kind of travel with Mary through this journey today in looking at the scene of the Annunciation, that each one of us has fears in our life. And it can either paralyze us or it can create in us a false sense of ourself. The remedy on both is to know, first and foremost, that we are loved by God and to really embrace that. And I don't think we embrace that enough. Self-love in the correct sense is the basis of humility, that which is what we see in the Blessed Mother, that she was humble because she loved herself, because she was loved by God. So it's not an egotistical or a narcissistic love of self, but it was love because she was loved.
Right.
And I think that really is what, from what we see after this now, in the announcement to Mary and in her response, is all based right there. Do not be afraid, because you have found favor with God. And for each one of us, in whatever we're going through today and whatever we're passing through in our life, do not be afraid. You have found favor with God. Accept that love, and that is the rock and the foundation of life.
And it's opening up our hearts, and that's something that you talk about quite a bit. You open up our hearts, and then we have love, and then we don't need to be afraid.
Right.
Because we know that God loves us.
Exactly. And then, of course, we all have to respond to that. I mean, you just can't. I hope any of us that receives a gift for Christmas would write a thank you note. I mean, we just can't take it for granted. But we do respond always to that love. And so as we see then now in the next part of the gospel, the announcement comes after she's solid now in this faith in the love of God. The angel now says to her, "Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. And he will be great and will be called Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of David his father, and he will rule over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." That's an amazing announcement to her, a young girl, a young woman in Nazareth, with no pretensions and probably no formal education as such, a simple woman, and yet this great message is announced to her. And it's, I'm sure, overwhelming to her. Of course, then the response that she gives is the response I think any of us would give. How can this be? So, you know, again, I'm trying to say the romantic beauties of Christmas, but there's this human element that's there that we cannot overlook.
Right.
How can this be? She had to question, because she also had to come to a free acceptance of this. And without understanding it, she could never come to that free acceptance totally. None of us, I think, with our life just says, well, as we hear so often today, and I think this is my little political, not political commentary, but my little commentary, this is the problem with many of us is whatever, you know,
exactly.
Whatever. Well, it's not whatever.
It is what it is.
Yeah, it is what it is. But it is my acceptance of whatever. And so she has got a whatever moment, but she doesn't say whatever. She wants to know, how can this be? And there she enters into her journey.
Mm-hmm. And we will continue this conversation after our short break, so please stay with us, and we will be right back. The Diocese of Corpus Christi has established the Institute for Parish Leadership and Ministry Formation. The purpose? To form laity for parish ministry as authentic witnesses to the gospel for the new evangelization. The Institute provides a new blended learning formation opportunity for all who serve in parish ministry in the Diocese of Corpus Christi. Registration is available online at faithformationcc.com. Featured are quality online courses, allowing for flexibility, live courses, and more. The Institute, a collaboration of several diocese offices, has the goal of supporting pastors and parishes by providing formation and certification opportunities for all aspects of parish ministries. For more information, visit diocesecc.org/institute. Welcome back to our Shepherd's View. Bishop, if we could go back a little bit, and I wanted to ask you, because in the beginning of the gospel, the angel Gabriel greets Mary and says, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you." So he acknowledges her and says, "Full of grace." That's a pretty powerful comment to say to somebody.
Yes, and we really actually should have started with that. And of course, we should recognize that this is the beginning of the Hail Mary, too. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you.
Right.
With thee. It's so even our prayers, just to recognize that our prayers come from the Scriptures. They're not invented prayers.
Right.
We are repeating the prayer, the greeting of the angel Gabriel to Mary. But anyway, I think, you know, that when we talked earlier about being afraid, I think the first response, you might say, of this fear or the origin of it is because of this greeting, Hail Mary, full of grace. Well, if someone that's, again, said that to you, just kind of, or me, out of the blue, that you have a special favor, you have the Lord is with you. I mean, wow, well, where is this going to lead?
Exactly. Tell me more about this.
Yeah, it's kind of the unknown.
Before I confirm.
Right. But what, and of course, this is also the basis of where we focus on the Immaculate Conception, because when one is full of grace, which means that you are full of the presence of God, that you're full of God, the Lord is with you, mm-hmm. That there was no room for anything else. So even at this point in her life, she was full of God, and she had been prepared and was continuing to be prepared for this incredible announcement and this special event in the life of humanity, that the Lord found a vessel, as many of the early fathers and teachers of the church have said, it's a vessel where mm-hmm. God could bring and place his son. There was a worthy vessel, which was immaculate, so the Immaculate Conception, mm-hmm. That she was sinless, so that this would be the resting place, the tabernacle. She's been called the tabernacle mm-hmm. of the Most High. So this is where the Lord would rest. So that is the meaning of Hail, full of grace, that she is without sin, that she is full of God, perhaps herself being unaware of it, and that's why she was startled by that, but was prepared. And so that is kind of that, do not be afraid. Almost as if the angel's anticipating her fear at that announcement. So
and rightly so.
And rightly so.
And rightly
sure.
So. So the angel gives that salutation, and of course, as we discussed before, she's saying, "How can this be?"
Right.
And then he mentions about the Holy Spirit will come upon you. Whoa.
Yes. Right. And you know, I think sometimes a false. I talked earlier about a humility which is originating in the fact that we know God loves us, and there's that self-love because this is rooted in the love of God for a person, that being the root of humility of a person's life. And I think, you know, we can't, going back to the human side of us, it's not that we question God, but I think rightly so, we ask questions. So she's asking a simple question. She's not saying, oh, no, this can't be. I mean, you're wrong. She didn't go into anything like that. She's simply saying, how?
Right.
Which is a question.
Exactly.
And I think it's wise for all of us when we're facing big issues in life and we're in our prayer, why not dialogue about it? How can this be?
Because that's what our prayer is. It's a conversation with God.
Exactly. And it's not that we're questioning or we're debating. And we're just asking how. We want to know. We have to know. To a certain point, of course, we'll see also at the end, she resigned herself. She gave herself over to the will of God. But from the logical point of view, from the human side, I have no relations with a man. How can this be? Mm-hmm. And so she's facing her humanity, but then faces the power of God. When the angel responds saying, the Holy Spirit, it will be the work of God, not your work, not a human work. It is the work of God. And so the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, it's not this child to be born of you will be called holy, the Son of God. That it will not be giving, you will not be giving a name that is just a human name, but the name will be Son of God, Son of the Most High, Jesus, the Lord who is with us. So it is totally the work of the Holy Spirit. That again, I think, is something in her life which throughout her life was certainly an amazing and overwhelming reality, that as she saw the work of God through the incarnate Word, which is her Son, she could see and confirm throughout her life, this is the work of God. This is not my work.
Right.
This is the work of God, through a really discerning spirit that she had, having had this experience here. And so also for us, I mean, we need to be able to be wise enough and understanding enough with the gifts of the Spirit to see where the work of God is in our life and not take credit for it, but to give it to God.
Well, and she would have understood, since I've read that Jesus means in Hebrew, God saves. So
right.
When the angel said his name would be Jesus, she knew God saves. It is interesting that since Jesus was his proper name, it expressed both his identity and his mission.
Yes.
And as you mentioned before, you know, she saw that throughout his human form, how God was saving.
It was really the beginning of a life of contemplation, really, of the work of God. And so, all that began in her, because this was given to her to accept. What's also interesting is what follows, that it's almost the announcement of another, you might say,
miracle,
or obviously through a natural means. But behold, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month of her who was called barren, for nothing will be impossible for God. Now, you have to realize 6 months had gone by. Obviously, Mary didn't know that. The angel was telling her. They didn't have internet and texting and phone and telephone and couriers, et cetera, et cetera,
right.
UPS. But, you know, they lived a number of miles away. Right. So obviously, within 6 months, she had not seen her. But it's also a beautiful reality that with her own announcement that Mary travels that distance from Galilee down closer to Jerusalem, where Elizabeth and Zechariah live. So it is, of course, some of us from the diocese had just been there, have just been there to the Holy Land in September. And so we know that we can recollect very vividly that journey was quite a journey, by foot, by
mule,
donkey, whatever it was.
Right.
So it's not an easy, but she went there to serve. Mm-hmm. And so hearing this second message, you might say, within there was, I would say, because Mary's dealing with her own issues. But what that message was is, don't focus on yourself.
It's not all about you.
It's not all about you, that your cousin also,
right,
in her old age, has this expected child. And so it's kind of, without saying it, it's like an invitation to begin your life with the incarnate word in your womb as a life of charity, of going to those who are in need, and your cousin Elizabeth needs you, without saying it. So
Right. Well, then, you know, she, of course, as we all know, Mary ends up saying yes, but I loved this. Behold, I'm the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to your word. Mm-hmm. You know, so obedience is what it means to be God's handmaid.
Right.
She was obedient.
Exactly. And there, of course, this is the perfect prayer for us. Again, her response to all of this, the announcement, hail full of grace, do not be afraid. You will conceive and bear a son. How can this be? The Holy Spirit will come upon you. That's a heavy, all in one shot. That's a heavy load, all in one shot. And Elizabeth, your kinsperson, your relative, has also conceived. That's a big mourning,
right?
In Nazareth, to receive all of that at one time. But, and this is why it's so beautiful, that Mary's response is a Christian response, is prayer. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, let it be done to me as you say, according to your word. That's the fiat.
Right.
And that's why that prayer called fiat is so important to all of us, because that's where God can begin to work. The Lord God will not invade our lives. And so as long as we are in a position maybe which is difficult, and we're complaining, we're arguing with God, we're questioning God, we're debating with God, nothing will be done. It's when we're able to say, through the struggles, and again, I want to go back to that question, how can this be? Sometimes for many of us, when we're in front of something big, it stretches for months, weeks. We're questioning.
No closure.
And all of a sudden, we may hopefully wake up to that prayer of Mary, behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. I am your servant. You're not my servant. I'm your servant. Let it be done to me according to your word. That's when things happen.
Right.
And that's why Mary for us is the model of faith, is the not only mother, but also model. And it's her obedience. And I know that we're running out of time, but just wanted to say about that obedience, in reflecting on this for our program today, I came up with the idea that obedience is the theater of God's work.
The theater of God's work.
Where there's no obedience in our life, where there's no fiat, then God can't work. But once we lay the stage, which is fiat, let it be done to me, as you say, things happen that are beyond our wanting them in the sense that it's God's grace, it's God's work. But Mary was full of grace, but we can participate in that grace through our own fiat in life. And so I would just invite everyone, especially this Christmas, whatever is coming in your life, whatever is present in your life, don't forget God is not your servant. You and I are His servant. And so our response to Christmas, our response to the presence of Christ in our world, in our life, is let it be done to me as you say, and then watch the work of God unfold in front of you.
And that's a wonderful thing for us to focus with all the hustle, bustle, and everything going on.
It's preparation that we can give for the coming of the Savior.
That's beautiful. Thank you, Bishop. If you could now end our segment with a closing prayer and blessing, please.
Certainly. Pour forth, we beseech you, O Lord, your grace into our hearts, that we, to whom the incarnation of Christ your Son was made known by the message of an angel, may by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of his resurrection, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. And may the Lord bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop, and thank you for listening to us this morning. Have a safe rest of your weekend and a blessed week.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the Bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, 78407. Or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.